Before we start this week's episode, we'd like to remind you folks that the Air Raid podcast is available at many places, including the Stitcher Radio app for your mobile device, iTunes, our website air-raid.net, and of course at www.cairoradio.com. Well, hello and welcome, everyone. Welcome to the Air Raid Podcast. This is episode 244 in what is now officially considered a long and drawn-out series. I am your host, Aaron Roden, and this, of course, is the show where we drop bombs of awesome straight into your ear holes. Boom indeed, folks. Boom indeed. We've got a great show planned for you this week. Rodney Anonymous, a.k.a. Rodney Linderman, of the Dead Milkmen will be joining us here shortly. Yeah, that's right, man. The Dead Milkmen. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. This was a total trip. This was a total trip for me. First two albums that I ever bought by myself. One of them was... And it'd be interesting because I know I've told this story before. It'd be interesting to listen back and actually find out if I've changed this story. But I'm fairly certain that the first two albums that I ever bought by myself, two cassettes, one was Dirty by Sonic Youth, the other one was Eat Your Paisley by the Dead Milkmen. And I still have that cassette. I still fucking have that cassette. And I still listen to the Dead Milkmen. And they've got an album out right now that is fantastic. It's a true return to form for a band that has influenced my life in more ways than one. The album is called Pretty Songs for Pretty People, and it's available now. I believe it came out last year, but it's really good. If you were ever a fan of the Dead Milkmen, I would highly suggest that you get your hands on a copy of this album. It is fantastic, and like I said, it's a definite return to form for the Dead Milkmen. This conversation with Rodney Linderman that we are going to get into here in a moment is, for lack of a better term, it is insane. I mean, this guy talks. That's not a word. This guy, Rodney, is a storyteller, man. And he gets into it. And this was fantastic for me because I was just sitting there like, whoa. I mean, my mind was blown for half of this interview. Actually, most of the interview, not half. And it was so much fun. It was so much fun to get to talk with this guy. And I hope you guys really enjoy it. Would love to hear your feedback by emailing me, Aaron, A-A-R-O-N, at air-raid.net. So, yeah, would love to hear what you think about the Dead Milkmen, about Rodney Linderman. And we get into it a little bit, man, about talking about depression, his, you know, battle with that, and how he just hates self-promotion. And we talk a lot about this. We talk a lot about hating self-promotion because he's the type of guy, he just wants to lift everybody else up, right? And he doesn't believe, I don't think, you know, I couldn't get this totally out of him, but I don't think he believes he deserves to be in the place that he's at. And it's interesting. It's interesting to hear him talk about this stuff. So I know you guys are just going to enjoy the heck out of it. Especially you whom are avid Dead Milkmen fans like I am. I went to their show last night after the interview, and I got to say, it was a dream come true. It was an absolute dream come true. Sold out the Crocodile here in Seattle, and it was just fantastic, man. They're going to be playing again at Timberfest. Our buddies at Artist Home who put on Timberfest coming up in Coronation, Washington, on July 16th through the 18th. Yeah, so get your tickets to that. You can find them at Timberfest or timbermusicfest.com and go get your tickets because this is it's a fantastic lineup. The Dead Milkmen, La Luz, John and Josiah of the Head and the Heart, David Bazan, Chaprice, Taco Cat, man. I mean, listen to this lineup. Beat Connection, It's so, so good. It's going to be great. Tomo Nakayama, Gibraltar, let's see, Naked Giants, Talkative, Recess Monkey for the kids. It's going to be awesome, man. And I'm going to be there as well. So get your tickets. July 16th through the 18th, Timber Outdoor Music Festival. Wonderful, wonderful time in Carnation, Washington. The Dead Milkmen are on tour right now. And let's see. They're going to be the 21st. That's Tuesday. They're going to be at Harlow's in Sacramento, California. The 22nd. The 22nd at Slim's in San Francisco, California. 24th at Belly Up in San Diego. And the 25th at the Troubadour. 25th and 26th at the Troubadour in L.A. The 25th is already sold out. And then May, they've got some dates on that too. So go to deadmilkmen.com, find out more. I highly recommend that you see this band live because they still got it, man. And it's fucking fantastic. I had never been able to see them live, and this was just, it was just a dream come true. So highly recommend it. One of my favorite bands of all time. This was such an honor to talk to Rodney. Let's see. We got a couple things to get to before we get into this chat. Let's see. Our listener, Jordan Naraki, and I'm hoping I'm not butchering your last name, sir, donated to the show. Yeah, that's right, man. Everything really helps out. If you can donate to the show like Jordan did this week, man, it's going to help us out tenfold, because we don't make a lot of money off of this and we want to keep going, and it costs money to put this thing on. It costs money to, you know, make sure our equipment still works, you know, after months and months of just talking into it, because it does actually break down. We need new cords. We need new stuff like that. We need to pay for parking when we go to these venues to interview people. And so, Jordan, thank you so much for your generous, generous donation. You can donate as well by visiting our website at air-raid.net and click the donate tab there at the top, the top left-hand corner of the page. Just click on donate and give us whatever you think we're worth, okay? Yeah. Jordan was nice enough to give us a nice bit of cash. So that's really awesome, Jordan. Thank you so much. Next thing. Oh my God. And this is really important. We've got a live show coming up. The date is set, folks. June 20th here in Seattle at Naked City Brewery. We're going to be setting up shop in the screening room once again. We had a great time last time. It sold out last time. So when we, you know, put the tickets up, man, you got to get on it. You got to get on it. Now, we are finalizing some of the deals on the lineup, so we're not putting it up there yet. But I want to put the seed in your mind that we have a live show coming up June 20th. That's Saturday here in Seattle at the Naked City Brewery and Tap House in the screening room. It's an intimate setting, and it's a lot of fun. We had a great time last year. Like I said, sold out, and it sold out pretty quick too. And with the artists this year too, man, holy shit. This one's going to sell out real quick as well. So if you want to come up for it, that's great. You got to be on getting those tickets though, man, because once they're sold out, that's it. That is totally it. Let's see. And we'll follow us on Facebook. Facebook.com/ Air Raid, I think, or Air Raid Podcast, or Air Raid Net. I don't know. Whatever it is. Type it into to a Facebook search. I don't know. And follow us on that, because that's where we'll be releasing the tickets first. Okay? All right. And we'll keep you guys updated here on the show as well. All right. So let's go to our first musical break, and then we'll be right back with our chat with Rodney Linderman, or Rodney Anonymous of the Dead Milkmen. This song is called Big Words Make the Baby Jesus Cry, off of their latest album, Pretty Music for Pretty People. All right, be back in a moment, folks. Stay with us. He's so proud of the books that he's never read, 'cause there are so many books that he's never read. 'Cause that's how doubts climb into your head and make you think funny thoughts when you're lying in bed. Now he's got a philosophy. A creed. Big words make the baby Jesus cry.
woman who had nothing to say, but she still felt the need to say it anyway. Never understood why people stayed away. She said the newspapers are filled with lies, planted by gay Muslim Jewish spies. Atheists run the public schools while communists piss into the public pools. No matter the facts, she sees the truth. Now she's got a philosophy. She's got a simple rule, a motto, a creed. Big words make the baby Jesus cry. Big ones are the enemy. Report big words to the authorities. Big words are the things that bad people say. If you hear a big word, run the other way. Big words lead you down a crooked path to William Faulkner and Sylvia Plath. When you use a big word, you commit a sin. When you use a big word, the terrorists win. Tonight at the country, we'll go out to a show. It's a movie written by a five-year-old about a brave puppy and the kitten he saves. It's no wonder James Lover spins in his grave. Now we've got a philosophy. We've got a simple rule, a motto, a creed.
So did you, I take it you're kind of a sci-fi guy.
No, I really hate. I really don't like science fiction. It's weird because I tell a lot to people. There's some science fiction I've seen, but most science fiction to me is people running around in outer space in like their aluminum underwear, like zap, zing, zoo. So I
Sometimes it's plastic.
Yeah, sometimes it's plastic. But I think the only science fiction things I liked The Fifth Element, which was
a great movie,
and of course 2001 Space Odyssey.
Yeah,
and the classic by which all science fiction is measured, Battlefield Earth.
Are you being serious?
Do these human animals like to eat? Yeah, Battlefield Earth, nobody talks for the first like 25 minutes, and as soon as they start, you're like, boy, I liked it better when they weren't talking. It's as if, and this is somebody's religion. That's the best part. They thought, this is really going to get converts.
Oh my God.
This is better than selling flowers at the airport.
Did you watch that?
I don't like science fiction. I have friends that wanted to have mimosa brunch or mimosa breakfast.
No, I was referring to the recent documentary on Scientology.
I did, and I'm with Neil deGrasse. I knew a lot about Scientology before. I knew
really?
All that stuff. I've been following it for years and years ago. A friend of mine had his sister's into it, and we managed to get some of her stuff that nobody's supposed to see, and it had all the stuff in there about terminating squirrels, which is how to. And,
what?
And I've been following. That's their term for dealing with dissenters. Me and some friends went down to apply for a job at Scientology as a joke because there was a center nearby us, and we had the forms that said, "Have you ever blown the Sea Org?" And I'm like, man, I've been out drinking some nights and woke up kind of hazy. Maybe I did blow the Sea Org. I don't know. But that means, did you quit the Sea Org? But my friends in a band called Ken made bumper stickers said, Ken blew the Sea Org. But then here's the thing. Dan and I were talking about this the other day, about the Scientology thing. If you're a Christian, you can't make fun of Scientology.
Why?
Because Lord Zemu with the DC-10s putting everybody in a volcano is no more ridiculous than a Bronze Age space god impregnating a 12-year-old girl in first century Palestine. It is both crazy. You can't point the finger and go, oh, well, and I say it's like saying, oh, well, you know, Batman's not real, but Superman, that guy is real. So, yeah. So that's why I'm Neil deGrasse Tyson said the same thing. So if both of us said it, it must be right.
That's right.
I always fact check with Neil.
Rodney Linderman joining me here.
You used my real name.
Thank you so much, sir.
This is
a big thing for me because let me tell you this.
Right.
First two tape cassettes that I ever bought.
Yeah.
By myself.
Oh, by yourself. Yeah.
Yeah. Goo, or no, not, sorry, it was Dirty mm-hmm. by Sonic Youth and Eat Your Paisley by the Dead Milkmen. And
how old were you? It was last week, oddly enough.
Yeah. I never had to pay for music. Always stole it until last week
when I finally bought my first album. Yeah.
I've heard you're kind of a klepto.
I am. It runs in my family. We'll steal anything.
Is this one of the true stories? Or
no, absolutely true. My parents would steal anything. It wasn't nailed down. My wife has to watch me. I went, I think for my 30th birthday, I'd walked out of a party with with a lamp, a standing floor lamp that I'd stolen.
Shut up.
In front of people.
This is a party of, like, your friends. Your friends were throwing a party.
No. We were out. Friends of mine, happened to be my birthday. Friends of mine were playing a show somewhere.
Okay.
And then after the show, everybody's like, do you want to go to a party? Not realizing that we were going to take everything. So, yeah. Well, it's not a party unless you take something. But then I have parties and people, like, stuff goes missing. Yeah. And then I'm like, yeah, I'm party favors. Exactly. I'm doing you a favor by not coming to your fucking party. I don't know if I can use the F word.
No, you can.
Favor is the F word I'm talking about. But I'm basically saying that I will swipe anything. But you had stolen everything before. You actually paid for it.
No. I didn't really.
I steal everything.
I stole one thing from a babysitter's house once, and it was these little rubber figurines called Guts.
Oh.
Back in like the mid 80s.
Oh, and I got caught by my dad. I remember Homies.
It was kind of like those. It was before Homies came out. But my dad caught me, and I had to bring it back with my tail between my legs and say, I'm very sorry, Mrs. Rosen.
You should have hidden it in your anus. Yeah. It was the end of a movie where Joanna Lumley has this, who played Patsy on what was the name of the show? Abfab, yeah. There's this little bit where you must hide your valuables in your anus. So we were doing that. It's weird.
Wait a minute.
A lot of ground here. Yeah.
That's right. So, been a big fan of you guys for a really long time, and it's an honor to
it's
to
very
meet
nice
you guys.
To meet you. You folks can't see this at home, but we're shaking hands.
Oh,
there we go. All right, we've buried the hatchet.
You can hear it.
Yeah, there we go.
You can hear it. So
the exchanging of the floppy disks.
I would like to get a little bit of the history of the Dead Milkmen from you.
I'd like to get it from someone else because I don't remember much of it.
You don't remember much of it?
No, I'm so vague on parts of it. People, they'll do that. These guys. Yeah, thank you. These guys will say, like, I'll say, well, we never played so and so. Yeah, we did. We played there 3 times. I'm like, oh, really? Oh, that's interesting. Yeah, I have a lot of stuff I have to memorize, you know, technically. You know, to stuff through them. So,
sure.
History-wise, Joe basically, again, Joe changes the story all the time, but I can tell you pretty much with about 90% certainty, he took the name from Toni Morrison's Song of Solomon, where they have a character named Milkman Dead.
Okay.
So I can pretty much say that. He lies and says everything. But when Joe was young, him and his friends and his family would make these very complicated games. The only other person I've known who did anything like that, so I don't know, but I know of, Stephen Hawking and his family would make
them. They
would
make, like, board games.
Like board games, but they would – the rules were impenetrable. I mean, they were – you know, you just couldn't figure out, like, why and how they worked. But one of the games was you would come up with different bands.
Okay.
And him and his friend Garth would play this. And then you would – it was a payola game. So you would pay money – and roll dice to move your band and spin a little thing to move your band up and down the charts. And, like, all of Joe's songs were like, you know, Joe is so wonderful. It starts out, Joe is so wonderful, Joe is so great. And all Garth's songs were like, I hate Joe, Joe must die. And they would raise something. And I just, the beauty of that, I just thought it was just so wonderful. It was like years before the answer song, you know. So I put out, I'm the real Roxanne, you know. And no, you know, you have Roxanne, and the real Roxanne. Sometimes you used to get the answer song on the B side of the song. I just wonder how the hell did they do that? It hasn't come out, and somebody's doing an answer song to it. But so he had this very complicated game, and from that he began to would fill in the backstory for everything.
So he would make up up these stories for each one of these bands that he was creating.
Yeah, and one of the bands it grew out of a band called he had a band at one point they called the Sunflower Children of God, and then he writes this story where they had become sort of a folk band that became a punk band, and they wind up the last name that they have is called the Dead Milkmen.
Yeah,
and that's and he had that, and he would make tapes. So the time I came across him, he had made this tape in the name of the Dead Milkmen because that story needed to have everything. He was into multimedia. So it had a board game, and then it had – yeah, he was way ahead of marketing. It had board games, and I think it had T-shirts long before anyone. And then he would have short stories, and then or fanfic, now it would be.
Yeah.
And then he would have the you would have the tape, the musical accompaniment, which I thought was great. So I liked joining a band that had a complete backstory already. In the Sunflower Children of God, there was a keyboard player named Richard Nixon. And he was called Richard Nixon because he was on acid. He fell asleep and he woke up and he couldn't remember his name. So the first name he saw was Richard Nixon. It's back in the 60s when this happens. Remember, he's going back in time to write these things.
Sure.
And So Joe has to make a tape where Richard Nixon dies in the studio while playing on the keyboards on something. So it was this organ thing in the background. You hear, and it was Richard Nixon's head on the keyboards as they just – yeah, it was so weird. I mean, he really put a lot of thought into this stuff. I mean, he doesn't seem like the thoughtful type now. He seems like a big jerk if you meet him. But back then, he was really quite less jerky, slightly less jerky.
So that's how everything kind of started. You guys had this backstory for a band, and
yeah,
then you
there's nothing
like,
else
yeah,
to do
just pick
in our
one
home.
Off this list.
Yeah, there's nothing else to do in our hometown other than get
where,
beat
where
up.
Where did you grow up?
A place called Coatesville, Pennsylvania.
Okay,
yeah, it's the wow. Riviera and the Riviera of the Steel District.
How
the Rust
old?
Belt.
How old were you guys at the time?
Oh, I wasn't. I couldn't have been 16, maybe. Yeah, 16.
15, 16.
Yeah, 16. Yeah. Probably 16, 17.
Had you been there. Interested in being in a band?
Yeah, always.
Before then,
yeah, always. When I was 10 or 11, I saw a film called Wild in the Streets.
Okay.
I don't know if you've ever seen it or
no.
not.
No.
Richard Pryor's in it as Stanley X, Malcolm X's brother. And basically, it's a story of a rock star who becomes president, puts everybody over 30 in concentration camps, and zones them out on LSD. It is an amazing movie. Yeah, it's, if
sounds,
you've never seen it, with Sally LeRoy. Sally LeRoy. She's old enough for Congress, boy.
Oh, my God.
Wild in the Streets. You should definitely see it. Occult movies have really, really influenced a lot on me. And if it's on, I will stop everything I do, literally, and just I don't care what's going on, and I will watch the whole film all the way through. I have to see it. So it's an excellent film, and it really made me want to be in a band just because I thought this would be pretty cool. Now I don't want to put everybody over 30,
Was your family musical? Like, did you have any kind of background in playing music?
Yes and no. My family were musical in the sense of learning what not to do.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like my younger sister was in like pop stuff, like Sean Cassidy and later on like really terrible stuff. Although she got better. My older sister was into like, you know, the worst of that decade.
You know,
Fleetwood Mac, the Eagles, you know, that sort of stuff.
Okay.
So when you're young and you first hear like Frank Zappa or something like that, you're like, oh, there's music for weirdos out there.
Right.
So that's was kind of my I was lucky enough to be the middle child between two sisters with terrible musical taste.
Yeah.
Although my younger sister did later on join a band and got kicked out for doing an obscene version of the theme from The Love Boat. I mean, it was shockingly dirty. I was like, that's great. I was impressed. I couldn't write something that dirty. I want our next album. I don't know if you're a fan of the band Go Fight out of I think they're out of Wisconsin.
Haven't heard them.
No, you haven't?
Gonna be.
I got to cut the interview off. You need to go get.
Got to be honest with you.
No, they're Electro Scuzz, and they're okay. Brilliant. And you need to get the new album they have out, which is called Napalm Baby. The album Music for Military Torture, which came out about 2 years ago, is fantastic and genius. This is really, really good, and they're excellent and brilliant. But I'm really kind of obsessed with the Electro Scuzz thing now.
Okay,
I didn't have a song about sex on a Milkman record until this record, the last record, which is Dark Clouds, is pretty much all about sex in some ways. It's totally that's true. It is a sort of dark thing, and I thought I wanted to have. Like more, well, I note that most alt rock is completely asexual. You know, it's just completely like, oh, I can't do that. And I'm thinking that it's an element that needs to be stuck back in. So I want to write like more sort of. I want to have an element of electro scuzz. I'm a sponge. So if I hear some witch house,
I can tell.
Yeah, I'm going to put a little witch house into something. Yeah. If I hear glitch, there's glitch in something. If I hear.
Sure.
So the electro scuzz stuff, I mean, I think Go Fight.
What is electro scuzz?
Electro scuzz is a great term for it's almost like funky industrial, and he came up with it on his own. The guy, he's still in Daiwarzu. This was like a side project for him. But Go Fight, or if you listen to Go Fight, find the song Rocket. You will love this band instantly.
Okay.
There's the International Day of the Woman, and they said, this is dumb. Let's write a song about women all year long. So they have a song, She's a Girl and She's a Rocket. She's got something to say. She's a girl and she's a rocket. Get out of her way. But it's just brilliant. And the music is very dense and very thick and beautiful. And the video is just incredible. Just famous women with Flash with like the Go Fight thing for the record coming out. I'm huge, huge fan. So I take some of that. I take a little bit from Ivardensphere. Ivardensphere have done three brilliant records, but two that really
influenced me. Now, what were you listening to as a kid, though?
Zappa.
Like,
as a kid, I listened to Motown. I listened to pretty much Motown exclusively. I was in the forefront of hating the Beatles. You know,
really?
The same.
How can you hate the Beatles?
It's easy to hate the Beatles. One of the best lines is the Beatles ruined Yoko. The Beatles were too sweet and like friendly and No, that's the line from the ever see Saturday Night Live where they have the 1830s music, 1830s theater critic. That was his name. I'll try to remember who it is, but he they have him on. He just rips everything, and they're like, he's doing this thing about the Grammys. Yeah, he goes, they're like, amazing. Go on, there's some good acts. How about the Beatles? The Beatles. Oh, if anything, they ruined Yoko. And he just tears stuff up. It's great, and then the audience starts booing him. So he's like, ooh. But
so a lot of Motown.
A lot of Motown, yeah. And I never, to me, the Beatles were always like too friendly. And it's weird because my friend Garth, the guy who used to make the music stuff.
What about when they got into the White Album, though?
No, like, that stuff is that, not. If there's a great, I was reading a book. Joe has these 33 and a third books.
Okay.
Yeah. And which I try to avoid because normally they're written by musicians. So 99% of the book is how this band influenced me and changed my life.
Sure,
and
sure.
And then there's like a little paragraph here. And they used this kind of microphone on this song, which I happen to have in my studio. I'm like, yeah, it's going to fit right up your ass too, buddy. hide it in your anus.
Have you always been kind of a cynical personality?
Like, well, even when you were a young Steel Town. I don't have a choice.
So is that where it all comes from?
I don't think so. Yeah. I think it just comes from observing life. You know, I just if you're going to watch life, you're going to be cynical. You know what I mean? Like it's even if something beautiful happens, like you see this flower come up, you know a lawnmower is coming along to get it in a little bit. It's best to be cynical. It's best to present that sort of worldview. You're going to be less disappointed. And it's weird because my friends are always saying I'm the happiest depressed person they know. I have like serious depression issues, and I will get really really down for long periods of time, but I'll be, you know, sort of bouncy about it, you know, and like, everyone, oh, well, that's it. I'm like, no, I'm really horribly depressed. A couple of days back or whatever. And
yeah?
I was just.
What happened, man? What triggered
it? Probably, well, I don't want to say, it's occasionally, I don't want to say. Well, what really bummed me was I wanted to have the band Youth Code open up in L.A.
Okay.
And I really, really, really wanted Youth Code, and Youth Code couldn't play it. And I was just like, I feel I'm sort of, I think this is probably.
You take that kind of stuff personally?
Well, don't have too many tours left in me. Uh-huh. So the idea is that if we can go like we're doing with Lié, and we can show the audience, here, this is the future. This is,
yeah.
You need to see a band like this. You need to get out and, you know, stop trying to, I'm trying to kill nostalgia, I guess. I'm like, stop trying to see a band that's, you know, hoping you're going to see a band that sounds like Minor Threat. That's past. That's gone. Listen to this. This is, you know, there's still punk out there, but it may be a little different than what you expect.
Yeah.
And also, I think Sarah, the singer from Youth Code, is a sort of great example of what a singer can be. I'm still to this day really happy when I see a singer for a band. I just saw my friend Sage Francis, who's a rapper, any sort of front person who does something really well, and you got to say to yourself, okay, I thought I had this down, but I have so much left to learn. I'm in kindergarten, and these guys are graduating from medical school with, you know, gold tassels hanging from their
head. But see, a lot of those people, too, would say that you were an influence.
Well, no, they say I'm under the influence. There's quite a difference there. I get that from people say that. Like, people are friends of mine, and I'm really into
them. Does that
them,
bother you,
say,
like, what? When you hear somebody say that?
No,
like,
unless they're terrible. But most of my friends who are really good, I'm always blown away because I don't think that they listen to anything that I did when they were younger. And they said, well, you know, I had this. And, yeah, it's just really odd. My friend Matt, who's in Caustic, I found out, had attended a Dead Milkman what was the name of the Red Hot Chili Peppers show up in New York. I was just completely blown away. I was just
really?
Like, I can't believe as good as you are, you know. And I was talking about how much I think it was White Knuckle Headfuck was the song. I was talking about how much I love. And he's like, it's You'll Dance to Anything. I'm like, oh, well, maybe that's why I love it. I don't know. But yeah, I'm always amazed. There's people I'm really, really Velvet Acid Christ turned out. Brian turned out to be a big Milkman fan. I'm always floored. Sage Francis again.
Does that make you feel good, though?
It does make you feel good. It makes you feel like you've given birth to like an army of, you know, like you're scattering the seed. Like, go forth and be disruptive. You know?
Right, right.
I would really, I don't know. There's a lot of bands I'd really be upset if I found out had grown up on us and were terrible. But there's two people. There's two sets of fans. There's a set of fans that are like the punk rock girl people, and then there's the Stewart people.
Right.
Watch the stage tonight. Watch over on Joe's side stage. Those are the punk rock girl people. They're friendly. They'll drive you to the airport, okay? They will totally drive you to – if you need a ride to the airport, they will take you to the airport, okay?
Yeah.
The people on my side of the stage –
Is there a rift in Dead Milkman? Is that what I'm
– Oh, yeah. It's always been a rift, yeah.
Like, You and Joe don't get along? He's not even
really
here right now.
No, I get along. I get along with him. Okay. You know, but I'm just saying, fan-wise. What? We take separate buses. Yeah, we have separate tour buses. No, I'm just saying there's fan-wise, there are people on my side of the stage, there's people that are dropping bodies off in the swamp, whereas over on his side of the Pleasant, you know.
I've always seen it as an older brother, younger brother relationship, however Rodney's younger than.
Yeah, that's weird. Well, do you see me as the older brother, but I'm younger than him? I was talking about,
you're always picking on him, and he's just like.
I'm not picking on him. You spend 10 minutes with him and see if he don't freak out. And you want to kill him, don't you? All the time, as soon as you close the door, yeah, I wanted to kill him. We were on tour, and I was on tour. Dan was in a band with him. I wanted to kill him in Europe, but I didn't. He's going to kill him. I saw him almost fall off. I grabbed him. We were on the Maid of the Mist once, going out to look at Niagara Falls. He's leaning over the rail, and he almost went over. And I'm like, to this day, I kind of wonder, should I have caught him? But, but then he played guitar really well on the last record. He came up with some good songs. I totally forgive him. Like, you never know what's going to come out of his mouth. And he is impenetrable. I have no idea. He's like the games he used to create. There's no insight into his head. So I don't know. If I have a song, I don't know how he feels about it, if he likes it. That's why I wanted to watch that whole Shaking Through thing.
You know what? I honestly feel like Joe speaks up. He chooses his battles. And he figures, I think he lets a lot of stuff go, but then he will speak up.
I see. I fight every battle. I'm like, I'm always like,
I can tell.
It can be, it can be like the type of paper cups that are in the dressing room. God damn it! Don't you know? I'm just combative, I guess. I guess that's.
Have you always been that way?
Probably. Yeah. You know, again. If my sisters were playing crappy music, I was probably combative in that I would go in and destroy their stereos. I am very adamant about different types of
music.
Where
do you get that? Does that come from your dad or your mom?
I don't know. I think my parents were people who should have been college educated and gone to college, but because we live in a steel town that had like a caste system, if you were, you never went, if you grew up working class, you stayed there.
Sure.
So they had this sort of attitude. They were sort of people who watch, PBS or, wanted us to know Shakespeare and stuff like that. And they're stuck in these jobs and in this horrible small town. And they so they begin to develop this sort of way of coping with it, which is by being smug and snarky. And I just really love that. Like, found out, when we watch TV, when I go over to our people's houses and they watch TV – and they're sitting there watching it. And then, a commercial comes on, and they're watching it. And I can remember there used to be this ad. This kid was really annoying. It was an ad for, a juice or something. This is a good story of how my dad is. And there's this kid, he's like, it's superb, and that means excellent. And my dad's sitting there, he goes, I would so like to get, like a snow shovel, but filled with horse shit. Shove it down that kid's mouth and say, is that superb? Is it excellent? And it made TV and stuff so much better because, my family's world, had they been in charge, would have been excellent. It would have been. And I noticed that other people were just sort of, Marshall McLuhan would talk about hot medium and cold medium. And Marshall McLuhan would go, television is a cold medium. And, not my family. Nothing in my family was a cold medium. Absolutely nothing. Anything, we would change the comics. We would get, when we were kids, we'd get coloring books. And we'd, put plots in them. Murder plots. Oh, this is really good. I guess maybe because we were sort of isolated. We were up a hill and everybody else lived down the bottom of it. I don't know. It's really weird to think about that.
Standing on the shoulders of assholes.
Yeah, it is. Totally. Everybody I get along with really well is kind of like that. Dan's like that, but he just doesn't let it out. He can control it. Whereas me, I have a friend who's on, a dear friend of mine, and super, super sweet guy, and he made my lucky cufflinks. My lucky cufflinks have human teeth on them because he befriended someone who owns a crematorium. So there's leftovers.
Wait, he gets the leftovers?
But he's on.
Is that even legal?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, totally.
To take somebody else's.
Yes, it is totally legal, or I wouldn't have them, would I? Duh. It's you're gone. What do you think happens to that stuff? Normally they just grind it up and they throw it out or whatever, but this puts it to a good use. That's what I hope they do with mine. Anyway.
That is some morbid shit.
No, it isn't. No, it's cool. They're awesome. I gotta get out of my bag because then it'll be a good show.
His artwork,
everything he does is absolutely fantastic.
Made of human remains.
Yeah, he does bones and his art is. But he sits and he quietly draws and stuff. And his wife is also a dear friend of mine. We were doing a panel thing uh-huh. the time talking, and somebody said, what is he like when he's not medicated? And without hesitating, she pointed me at him. And so I think that maybe is possible. I should be medicated, but I seem to do okay as I am. I don't.
Well, we've gone off on quite the tangent here, but it's fantastic. And let's do this. Let's take our second musical break, and we'll be right back with more of
the
Air Raid Podcast
first musical break.
For your ears. It's all in post, man. It's all in post. It's all digital now.
We'll fix it.
No more floppy disks.
There we go. I'm glad you told me who shot Kennedy. That was good. During the break, he came clean with the whole Kennedy conspiracy.
It's a lot of secrets, man.
Yeah, Neil Armstrong on a soundstage shot Kennedy. I didn't know that. They fixed that in post, too. Oh, brains are going everywhere. Well, we'll fix that in post. That was right. One small shot for a man. One giant leap for a man guy. Sorry.
Are you a conspiracy
No, I really – I'm an atheist, and I'm very logical, and I get really, really upset with conspiracy theories.
Yeah.
We were forced to play – I don't like festivals, and we were – except for the aftermath, which I can't get to go to.
Well, you're going to be playing a festival here this summer, too.
Yeah, but these are always 3-1 votes. Right? They're always like, who wants to play it? And three guys raise their hand, and I'm good.
You're going to have a great time, man.
No, I never have a good time anywhere. I have a good time if I could go to Aftermath, Terminus, or Cold Waves, but I'm not going to go to any of those this year. So if you hear my voice and you can go to either Terminus is out in the middle of nowhere. It's like Saskatchewan or something. But if you're in Chicago, go to Cold Waves. I think it's Cold Waves 4 this year. If you're in Toronto, please go to the Aftermath Festival. It's going to be amazing. So I try to get people to go to these things because I can't go.
Yeah.
It'll be good because I won't be there. You know, that's how you can tell a good festival.
You won't fuck it up.
I won't fuck it up. Yeah. I won't be all dour in the corner going, No, as for conspiracy theories, I get really angry about them because I think what they do is they mask the more interesting thing. You know, people say about Lee Harvey Oswald, he acted alone. That, to me, that's not the most interesting. The most interesting thing is Kennedy conspired to have other world leaders killed. I mean, we know this. You know, and at one point in the Kennedy administration, they floated the idea, and it made it all the way up in the cabinet meetings, of blowing up the rocket, the Saturn V rocket that John Glenn was on, and then blaming it on Cuba. Kennedy was a speed freak in office. To me, that's more fascinating than the idea that this guy was
a speed freak.
Yes, Kennedy was a speed. Was Kennedy
Are you sure?
Was on speed? I promise you can look it up. That was the drug that he was on. They used one of the ideas to control his back pain. What? Everybody was on speed back. There was B-12 shots basically loaded with speed. And the drug use in this country is actually a lot down from where it used to be. We reached our peak in the early 1900s with opiates that were given over the counter. So, which I think they should return to. I know I could use them.
Yeah, they use a little slowdown.
Yeah, a little. Yeah. Well, I slow down. I don't slow down so much as I crash. I fall over, and then I come right back up, and I'm like, ah.
Now, I've heard you say before that you do like going on tour.
No, I don't.
No, you don't.
No, I don't. Every time I read about somebody court, it's really great to be on tour. We're hoping to play Europe and have the new album out in spring, because musicians are only capable of repeating the same lines over and over. No, I don't like being on tour. I saw an interview with a guy from the Sonics the other day, the guitar player, and he said what I said in an interview, which is, I'm very sort of type A. I have everything in a schedule, boom, and I don't like waiting. And touring is go wait over there in the lobby. Go wait in the van. Go wait and if I can use that time usually to work on stuff, it's okay.
Sure, yeah.
But I don't understand for me, music is the worst place to be because I like a very buttoned down sort of boom boom boom. I would have been fine in like krautrock bands.
Why have you kept going then?
I don't know, because it's better than not going. Like I couldn't do this for like 16 years. We were broken up, and instead of thinking, oh, I should probably do something, I just sat around and was grouchy. And then when you get a chance to do it again, you got to remind yourself. And my friends remind me. I'll complain to my friends. I go, oh God, we've got to go do this or that. And they're like, you know what? You're playing a packed house. You got a chance to talk about. I get a chance. The reason I do it is I get a chance. I went out last night and talked about my favorite website, I Die You Die. And how they've turned me on to a lot of people. And after the show, people had I Die, You Die written on their arm. I saw Lee A, who are a band that I was interested in the whole cold punk thing that's going on in Vancouver. And I saw the thing for Lee A. I went out and I heard their song Rat River, played it for my wife. My wife made me play it over and over again and got them to go out there and play last night. For me, that's success. That's what people are totally freaking missing. If you can't measure success by saying, oh, this is really, really great. I was on, I was on Jimmy Fallon last night playing. I'm like, oh, good for you. Hey, I got Lee A.
Now, wait a minute. Yeah. I've heard you say this kind of thing before in other interviews. And I wanted to ask you, now, is that something that maybe the cynical part of Rodney is like coming in and is like, I never experienced something like that, so I'm going to shit on it?
I'm shitting on it because I think it's homogenized.
Do you truly think that, though?
Never seen a band show up on late night TV with a song about income inequity.
Well,
I've never seen angry women in a band on late night TV.
But if you were given the opportunity to do that, let's say like Dead Milkmen became like the most popular band in the country.
They wouldn't. Like,
would you take an opportunity?
Here's two things on it. One is I know that they would say, okay, you can't really do that song. You can't. This song it will offend our sponsors.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. You can't really. You can't do this or that. And once they say that, you don't want to do it. So that's the whole problem with it. When I see TV now, I see all my friends are in fascinating bands. Go see Lee A tonight. They're great. They're young. They're angry. First of all,
I'm looking forward to it.
They're fantastic. Yeah. And that they would probably not be allowed on TV. There's a line there. You can't talk. Like I say, income inequality or any sort of class issue. You're not going to get to talk about on TV. Gender equality is a no-no. If you're a woman and you're on TV, you've got a big pair of thick ironic glasses and a long a giant sweater, and you're made to sing in that little girl voice, which is so horrifying to me.
Manic pixie dream girl.
It's like, I'm... So, and you got your folk guitar, and you're staring at your shoes the whole time, going, I'm such a frightened little person in a big, big world. And I'm thinking, this is not... my friend Donna Lynch sings in a woman's voice. My friend Jill from Hot Breakfast, Donna Lynch is in Ego Likeness. My friend Jill sings in a woman's voice. Shaki from, oh God, why am I blanking on Shaki's band? They just played their first show out. But she sings in a woman's voice. I really dislike that sort of neutering of an entire generation. I think it's not good. It's particularly bad. I think it's great that bubbling under are all these wonderful role models for women, role models for women to be in a band. When I was growing up, there were no women in band other than Patti Smith. And Patti Smith is a real groundbreaker. Because if there were women in bands, they were like that sort of what we see now. That sort of Leslie Gore, like, you know, my boyfriend was mean to me. Oh, he's so mean to me. Hey, everybody, my boyfriend wasn't mean to me. I was mistaken. All right. They don't even go that loud anymore. You know, but it's okay. He'll be nice to me tomorrow. That would be like, that is a big hit right now. I'm willing to bet you that some producer somewhere is going to hear me do that and go, all right, bring in that shoegazer girl to do that. That's going to be good.
I think her name's Rodney.
Yeah, there you go. Oh, yeah, so I really think that that's but bubbling underground is, I think it makes the women who are angry, and I say this in a positive way. I think that one thing, sure, I've noticed as an artist is the bands I love all now seem to be, and again, talk about Sarah from Youth Code, they seem to be fronted by women who are very angry. This is because as a man, I can never be as angry as a woman, and that makes sense because my life isn't as bad as things are for women. Even though things got better, I don't have to deal with the shit during the course of a day that women have to do with. And that's why the women's real women's music now, not the sort of stuff where, you know, a guy sits down and writes it and says, all right, then this is what you're going to sing here, you know, and let's make it friendly. I think that real women's music, where women are writing their lyrics and doing incredible stuff. And again,
have you heard of Chastity Belt?
I think so, but I haven't really heard of stuff.
They are fantastic. They're local from here in Seattle. They're doing some great things. Something you should definitely check out. Right along the lines of what we're talking about.
My friend Donna just had the greatest line ever, which was, "To those who lit the match, your house is burning too. To those who fanned the flames, I fucked it up already. This will come back to you," which is a great. Yeah. If I get it right, it's a great line. They have a new song, New Legion. I just think like that is you know, that's a nice tapping into an anger that I need to explore. I often will just pick my wife's brain for stuff, and she's great with giving lyrics without knowing it, you know. To me that's a fascinating area. And
how do you get inspiration? That's
Android Lust, right? That's Shaquille's band. Android Lust played their first show.
I
like
thought that's what you
ago.
Were going to say. No, that's where, no, I get my inspiration, no, is Android Lust.
Android Lust, yeah, I steal their songs.
But there's so much material over the years that Dead Milkman has had. How do you get the material for writing some of these?
I'm awake.
Some of these things.
I once was outside
news articles, just standing around,
just
hearing
light.
It. In,
I once
in
and people say things all the time to me.
Right.
My friend Kyle was telling me a story of somebody he knew who had famous parentage, and this girl's life was not great because. She didn't know people wanted to be her friend because her parents had been famous, or they just wanted to be her friend. And she's the sweetest person on earth, from what I hear. I've never actually met her sort of tangentially, but I mean, just an awesome person. And I thought it was odd that people want to make friends with famous people. Never in my life have I woken up today and thought, boy, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to go out and make friends with famous people. And I thought it would be so much easier to either treat your friends like they're famous. Which means you're always with A-list people. You know what I mean? That's the way I think about my friends. B, just try to make your friends famous. And so he'd given me this line, and I had it in the back of my head, so I used that on a song later on. People just say things all day long. I was outside of a grocery store. This is like 25 years ago or something. And two women who had to be in their 70s or 80s were fighting. I mean, fist fighting. And these kids were talking to me, and they're like, yeah, we're a band, but we have trouble coming up with ideas for songs. I'm like, two octogenarians are beating the shit out of each other, and I can't even intervene because you're standing there talking, and they were fighting over cat food, and they had cans of cat food in their hands. Like, and I'm like, how did this happen? Was tender vittles, no little friskies, you know. I like it with the gravy. No. I was just like, oh my God, this is so. And every day something really weird happens. Life drops, just goes along and drops songs. And if your life is shitty,
I really like that, man. I mean, it is. It is about all. It's all about getting out there and.
I like their band
life,
name
right?
too. They were called Prom Mom. I don't know where it became
Prom
of
Mom.
Them, yeah, Prom Mom. At that time, they had the Prom Mom, the girl had given birth at the prom. How is that? You know, you'd think they'd have a song called Prom Mom. I mean, you know, we're really working on material. I live right by where that airplane crashed into the ambulance carrying the robot from the. But I'm having trouble coming up with material. That'd be awesome. You know, near the UFO crash site. But I really, songwriting's been difficult for me.
So you said a little bit earlier that you know, you really, you know, what's most important for you now is getting these other bands that you're playing with tonight, some, you know, airplay, and you getting, you know, pushing these people out here and making people hear these bands that
part
you appreciate.
Of my master plan to kill alt rock. Yeah.
Well, yeah, but like, I mean, do you find any pleasure anymore in pushing your own stuff, your own art?
No, I'm my own worst. I'm like the worst person at self promotion. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I really suck at it. I do stuff and I never talk to people about it. I never say, you know, I do this, I do that, I do that.
Well, you're doing this right now,
always,
right?
I do this, but I'm not talking about the other stuff I do and stuff like that. I always talk about my friends, or I always talk about other bands. I have a feeling that a rising tide raises all ships.
Sure.
And if I'm talking to you if I'm talking to you just about us, I ain't raising the tide much.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I want to raise the tide so much that, you know, the people living, you know, by the coast decide to move in a bit. So, yeah that's – I'm not good at that, but I'm good at – I'm part of a community. I'm not just me. So if I were here and I were representing, you know, Smithville, Wisconsin, and I were the mayor, I wouldn't be talking about my house. I would be, yo, things are really going well in Smithville. I put in a new shed last week, and the wife gave me a Hummer. First time in months. I had something hidden in my anus, of course. While two old women fought over it outside the No, but I'm saying, but if I said, you know, yes, things are great in Smithville, Wisconsin. We just got a new Denny's, and it's open 24 hours. Then I'm doing my job.
But don't you feel like you have a story to tell? I mean, I'm sorry I keep on harping on this point, but,
no.
Like, I mean... You know, your band has meant a lot to a lot of people, including
and that's
myself.
Good. Then I've done my job.
Okay,
I did my.
And that's where it ends.
I did my job right there.
Yeah.
And the reason my band means a lot to a lot of people is because this is what I've always been doing.
Yeah.
I've always been saying, "Here's you need to go out and we're a community of weirdos." You know, mm-hmm. If I don't take time to mention the Sophie Lancaster Foundation and how people should give money to the Sophie Lancaster Foundation, I'm failing there.
Yeah.
I'm failing. My job is not to promote. The Milkman. It's not. We're
I'm
not.
Just trying to, I'm just trying to make you feel better. About
well,
yourself.
It's not going to help because I think people have been trying for years. My wife has this conversation with me all the time. She's like, don't you know what you've achieved? And I'm like, no, and I don't want to know because then I'll feel like okay, I'm done. I think that the idea is we've always been. You know, we were part of a community of outcasts from the beginning.
Yeah.
You know, when we first came into Philly and
well,
Philly.
I remember hearing about this too. It's like because you know I'm younger. But
that in. I don't have to fight for cat food outside. Yeah. I can take them.
Right. But the punk scene didn't necessarily just embrace you with open arms.
No, it did and it didn't. Philadelphia was embracing was much more eclectic than other cities.
Okay.
We would have Eldridge Knight, the poet, get up and do a poem at these things. We had rockabilly bands at punk shows. We had quirky pop bands. We had the punk shows were excellent once they started. Once we first got up there and we were sort of the jokers, and this happens in every genre. I'm a huge goth industrial fan. Uh-huh. Goth industrial took itself very seriously for a long time,
right,
and then you begin
to
have people like Caustic and the Gothsicles, and even Angel Spit weren't a joke band, but have a sort of fun feel to them.
Yeah.
And so, but those people always meet with a lot of resistance from the very dour people. You know, people would actually get angry. People shouldn't be smiling and having fun at punk rock shows, and you get that in every genre. It probably happened at one point in country western. You know, you've got to stick to songs about farming. Right? We can't pan out into songs about working on the highway. The Wichita Lineman. That was probably the first. Well, we can't play it on our station. He's not a farmer. Can you change it to the Wichita Farmer? The Wichita Farm Man? Anything. I know it's tough with a cadence on it. The Wichita Farm Man is hiding things in his anus. I have to bring it back home. That's my
you're
job.
You're somewhat obsessed with this.
No, not nearly as. You need to be in the hotel room with Dan and I. I noticed they're not switching up the rooms anymore. It's like Joe and Dean, we would switch rooms every night. Joe and Dean were together last night. They had a meeting. They're like, no, those two are the incorrigibles. Let's put them in a room together. So, or Joe's just not speaking to me. That happens every now and then. Well, Joe's just not speaking. I think in the 35 years I've known him, I think I've heard him say four or five words, which is a beautiful sort of passive-aggressive thing. You know,
sure.
It's great to see him in an interview when they're trying to coax something out of him, and he just refuses to speak. Or I saw him one time being interviewed, like a podcast radio thing, I guess,
uh-huh.
And he was doing most of it with his hands. He's like, this is a you know. And I just thought that was beautiful. I was like, oh, God, that is so subversive. There's a subversive nature to him that is way years ahead of subversion than everybody else is doing.
Yeah.
He's just we should study him for subversion.
Yeah.
Very, very dark. One of the darkest senses of humor that I know. He will laugh at things.
Is he the one that was friends with, John Peter Hansen? Or Hassan?
Plesiosaur.
Yeah, JP.
I'm from his hometown.
Oh, JP is hilarious.
And I remember he would come
to
Indianola every once in a while. And my friends would tell me that Joe was in town. And I'm like, I gotta go up there and meet this guy, because at that time I was a huge
The Plesiosaur stuff is hilarious. I love the song "LA Nights 2."
Yeah,
yeah. The cop that goes undercover as a stripper to find the man who killed her sister, who was working as a hooker. It's better. And there's an actual film called "LA Nights 2." Yeah, he does. No problemo, man. Absolutely amazing.
No problemo. And then there's also what was it? Oh, God. Bowl Noodle Hot.
Oh, yeah.
Jesus Christ.
He was just out on tour with Tim and Eric.
Well, right. Oh, is he coming out with you guys?
He's coming out to San Diego, yeah.
That's awesome.
I'm going to meet Eamon in San Diego, which I'm psyched. I'm going to meet people on this tour that I just know through Twitter and through. There are people who I've remixed their stuff. I've played on their records. I've never met them.
Are you looking forward to that?
I'm looking forward to I've never met Tom Shearer. He's here tonight, and that's why I got the discs for him. Uh-huh. I really think it's fascinating now when you work with people, and I've done stuff with people for a year before I actually get to meet them physically.
Yeah.
So it's interesting.
Yeah.
When I meet them physically, they're usually on my front porch with a hood and a chainsaw, which is probably not the good thing about it. But I think that's I love the fact that there's. You can't tell anymore where one band begins and another ends. I have friends that I'll work on their project, somebody else will work on it. Mm-hmm. I'll work with them. And I love that web of musicians where you can't say, all right, this is it's great, because it started a community that really needed a community. In other words, it wasn't just four or five people here in this one little town doing it as a community.
Sure.
Now. It creates this great creative where it just, and I reason I love remixing. I love remixing and remixes and stuff, because it's everybody's little take and tweak the things, and I can hear, all right, how would I have done this, or could have done it differently, or when I go in to put my mark on something, I'm always interested in people's personalities kind of shining through what they do.
Yeah.
So
a chance to promote
that's awesome.
Yeah. Oh, thank you. See, self promotion. Yeah, we just did a. Now here's how. Let me switch into myself. Funny you should ask that. We recently did. Yeah.
Right.
We recently did a. We did a thing for this thing called Weather Vane Shaking Through.
Okay.
And it'll be up on the web on the 22nd.
It's a Dead Milkman project.
Dead Milkman project. Yeah, we went in to do a song called Prisoner Cinema. Two of my friends are in a band called Hot Breakfast. We brought them in because I needed really good vocals, so we can't use mine. And we needed the beginning of the song was a thing I started working on with MC Lars that didn't see the light of day.
Yeah.
But I learned something from it, which was Lars had the idea of taking a folk song an Irish folk song, and I used to play in Irish folk bands, and grafting it on to the beginning of a hip hop song.
Okay.
So I began to think, I started that, and it sounded good. I wanted to hang on to it. I thought.
Using one of those, hand drums with the double.
Oh, yeah, a Bodhran. I play Bodhran, and I play Tim Whistle, and I played all that stuff. And. I came up and I wrote, and I didn't want to use one. I kind of wrote one, and it didn't. Nothing happened to it. And this was supposed to flow into a song based on Poe's Annabelle Lee originally with Lars. And I thought I should use it for something. I save everything. So we had this project coming up. I think I may have even submitted this at one point in the early things for the last record. Yeah, and I was kind of mad it didn't make the record. And so I thought as we began to work on it. Okay. What can I do with this and that?
Bits and pieces that you can
change it. But I wanted it to be sound. I wanted it to be a mixture of punk, industrial, Irish music, and trip hop. I thought that would be, and it is. It's what it is.
Okay.
And then originally, I'd worked up because there's a band I love called Dead When I Found Her, and they have a song called No More Nightmares, and I wanted it this bell part in it, so I had a sequenced bell part. To sound like No More Nightmares, and it just wouldn't work in practice. The sequencing was, people had trouble because it was a really odd sequence part and bizarre. And so at that time, see, this is talking about being a sponge and ripping people off. Velvet Acid Christ had put out Conscious Landscapes, and there's a song on it called Dire, and I just love the sort of bell-like piano part on it. So Dean was saying, well, you should just write something around. So I had that, and then he had this guitar part that sort of meshed with it, and that came to life. And so they're like, well, come in and film it. So for this is what they do. They film you for 2 days.
Okay.
They film you coming in and playing your song, and then they film you mixing. And this is all live, but they also goes out live on the internet. So
okay.
We were live on the internet. Basically recording,
just no, working no on this song.
Yeah, and I left my mic on when I urinated, which was interesting. And all these people on the internet are like, I think he's pissing. Yeah, and I'm like, oh, it's, no, for real, that happened. And kind of takes your, you know, like, huh, I'm a songwriter. Here, a songwriter is just pissing. I'm not that much of a songwriter. Also, that's, you know, everybody writes on the song. We were talking about that the other night.
So where is this thing available?
It'll be available on the 22nd. It's Shaking Through. It's also called Weather Vane. It's easy to find. But it also has, what I love about it, you can join up. It's like free to join. And they have the remix kits. There's different levels of membership. But there's a free. But I love remixing stuff. You can go out, get the song, and remix it. So now I want to get my hands on our own song.
And then remix it
what
yourself.
What an egomaniac I am to remix it myself. Yeah, but I think it's fascinating. Because here we are, like, doing this live, and I'm a kid in heaven. I'm like, this is so Buck Rogers to me. I'm like, this is awesome. Like, we're on. Like, my wife would check in from home and watch us, but they would show the mixing board, and I thought, if they're smart, they'll say $5 a mixer. In other words, like $5 a channel. So you could go in, you could, like, say, somebody should say, all right, you know, here's $5, let me boost the bass here. You know, like, I would have paid, like, 50 and just done it across the board. I was in heaven for those 2 days, because it was the most, you're in the studio, people are filming you, and they you know that Japanese puppetry where they have the people in black?
Yes,
and,
yes.
You know, and after a while, you don't see them. Well, that's the way it was with people with the cameras. After a while, you kind of forget they're there. So you say really crude, embarrassing things.
Right,
and
And
I liked it because they put a lot of work into it. They went to our homes, and they did separate interviews with all of us, and they, I was, plus you don't really get to see how a song is made. You don't get to see, now, because of dolls and everything, you have a whole trail. You have an email trail of us shooting it around saying, hey, let's try this or try that. But I think some of Joe's best subtle, and Dan's playing too. I mean, Dan's does this great reverse noisy thing that is sounds like it should be sampled, but it's something he's pulled off. And I think just some of Joe's best playing, guitar playing is on this thing. I'm fascinated by it. And it's a wonderful, angry little song, which makes
me looking
happy.
Forward to it.
I don't say it's a wonderful song, but it's kind of become a sort of like favorite one. And we're actually going to get to do it live with Matt and Jill in San Francisco. They have to be out in San Francisco.
And that's coming up
the day. That's on the 22nd. Yeah.
Okay. When's the San Francisco show coming up?
San Francisco's the 22nd. So that's the day.
Okay.
22nd,
gotcha.
I believe. It's the day it comes out by pure chance. Yeah.
Awesome.
And then the 24th, I think it is, in Tampa, is Velvet Acid Christ, Ludo Technique, Mindless Faith, Stoneburner, and Ego Like This. I'm only telling that because you people now have enough time to fly to Tampa to see that show. So see us tonight, and then go home. And then when are you putting your podcast
This is
up?
Coming up on Monday.
Oh, Monday. So that gives them time. Yeah, it gives them time to
gives
go.
Gives them time to make
book
it here
flight
tonight.
To Tampa. I promised my friends, we have this thing called the Thrill Kale Cult. This is all very confusing, I know. So I promised them I'd look out for them while I was over here.
I
would definitely plug that show. But, so I'm a big, fan of all those bands. But when I was in Tampa, I met Ben only once from Ludotech.
Uh-huh.
I wanted to meet him again, but he was babysitting that night. So it's like something I'm never going to let him live down. How's the babysitting going there, man? If you've ever seen Ben on stage, Ben from Ludotech does not look like somebody you would trust a baby with. Here, watch my child, you with the strange eyes and wrapped in gauze and
Well, Rodney, it's been an absolute honor talking
with
you.
Well, thank you.
Thank you so much.
I feel better.
Man.
This is like being on the psychiatrist's couch. I'll probably feel better for a good 10 minutes till I go out there. Is Joe out there? I'm not going to feel better. All right. Yeah. Well, thank you. I enjoyed this.
All right, Joe. The sound of us shaking hands once again.
All right. Thanks
a lot.
That was fun.
That was good, right? That was fantastic. And I apologize because I believe I called him Joe at the end of that. And the guy interjecting in the background is the current bass player for the Dead Milkmen. His name is Dandrew. He goes by that pseudonym. That's either... Is that even a pseudonym? I don't even know what words are. Okay? Jesus Christ, the big words. They make baby Jesus cry, guys. All right.
Thank you guys for listening so much. You can subscribe to Air Raid on iTunes, and if you do, please take a moment to rate the show. Those always do help in the long run. We're also available on the Stitcher, TuneIn, and Cairo Radio apps, or just visit us at air-raid.net to subscribe directly to our RSS feed. Keep in touch by liking our Facebook page at facebook.com/the Air Raid Podcast. Our Twitter handle is @AirRaidNet, or email me directly at aaron@air-raid.net. And remember to take the pledge, people. Take the pledge. Tell somebody that you like about this show. If you think they'll like the show, then do it, man. Or just subscribe them without them knowing. They'll thank you in the end, won't they? All right. Here is your inspirational quote of the week, as said by a 3.5-year-old.
Nothing is impossible. The word itself says I'm possible.
I love it. And I don't know if I've actually used that one before. I should double check that. Huh. Somebody's going to email in about that. All right. We're going to close the episode with the song Dark Clouds Gather Over Middlemarch by the Dead Milkmen off of their current album. Man, having trouble. Pretty song, pretty music for pretty people. Jesus Christ. Oh my God. Thanks for listening, everybody. Have a great week.
Musician.